I've had a number of people, friends and neighbors and relatives, ask me that question, are you ready for Christmas? And I guess if you were to mean by that, are you ready for Christmas, does that mean have you purchased all the gifts for your family and your loved ones and your friends and your neighbors, then I'd have to say no, I'm not ready. I am a procrastinator when it comes to that kind of thing. By the way, and you know, it always seems to work out. You always work it out. But I do want to give you a word of counsel and caution, and I hope you'll hear my heart in this. I'm not a Scrooge. I don't believe that we have to be against Christmas and against celebrating. The Christmas tree is not something we worship. It's not an idol. How many of you know where the lights that we put on the Christmas tree, how many of you know where that originated from? Well, we know the idea came from Scripture, but it was actually Martin Luther in the 1600s that put candles on the tree, which was a dangerous thing in that day. But it was to represent the stars in the sky, and especially the Star of David that led the wise men to the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so it's okay to celebrate and to have decorations and to have a tree. That's okay. But I do want to counsel us. I hope you're not buying gifts for people, especially gifts that they don't need, with money that you don't have. You know, don't get yourself in debt. That's not what Christmas is meant to be. But rather, enjoy the season of the true meaning of it. And so if you were to ask me, are you ready for Christmas, meaning are you ready to celebrate the advent, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, then I'd say yes, and we've already begun that. Are we ready to celebrate this? Yes. Are we ready for Christmas? Yes. My son Kenny has a little chalkboard that he has up on the refrigerator, and we've had this forever. I don't know how many years, but forever. And every year, he does a Christmas countdown. And every day that we're closer to Christmas, he goes over and he erases it, and you know, now I think, is it, what, 5 days to Christmas? 4 days? Woo! Sharp! And so, of course, he erases it and puts it on there. And, you know, it's tough for kids to wait for Christmas, isn't it? I mean, the anticipation, the excitement. But you know, that waiting is good. That waiting is good. And that waiting actually represents and kind of typifies the people of God in the Scriptures, because they were waiting. The people of God, Israel, were waiting for the prophecy of the Messiah to be fulfilled. They were waiting. In fact, they had to wait several hundred years. 400 years earlier, the last prophet in the Old Testament, Malachi, was the one speaking, and then there was basically radio silence for 400 years. And the people were waiting. Where was the promised Messiah? Where was the anointed one? Where was the one God had promised who was going to send to them, who was going to rescue them and deliver them out of the oppression that they were having? It had been a long time. They were waiting, and they were beginning to lose hope. As we read these verses here this morning, I believe one of the main truths that we can see is this, that God was faithful in fulfilling this promise of sending the Messiah. And so we too can trust Him. He will fulfill His word. He will fulfill His promises to us for all that we need. He will be faithful. There are times that we will have to wait. There are times that we will grow impatient. Anybody here like me can get impatient? We say to the Lord, Lord, I want patience and I want it now. Lord, I want this answer and I want it now. But you see, God doesn't work that way. He's not on our timetable. And so I want to encourage you this morning in these few minutes that we'll spend together looking at God's Word and seeing how He fulfilled the promise of bringing the Messiah, the Promised One. I want to encourage you not to give up hope. Not to give in to despair. Whatever may be going on in your life right now, today, don't give in to fear, to despair, or hopelessness, because God is faithful. He has been faithful in years, centuries, aeons in the past, and He will be faithful to each one of us today if we'll trust Him. whatever's going on in your life, and I know some of you are going through some difficult things right now. Some of you in this congregation have been laid off from your jobs, and you're wondering, where is the next job going to come from? Some of you are struggling in your jobs. You're wondering if you're going to get laid off. Some of you have had your savings disappear. Some of you have had stock that's become worthless. I know it's a difficult time. And our trust cannot be in our economy. It cannot be in our government. They can do what they're supposed to do, and we pray that they will. But our trust cannot be in them. Our trust must be in the Lord. He has been faithful in the past. He will be faithful to us now. Let's try to break it down in just a few minutes that we have together. We see out of this that, number one, God's people, Israel, thought that He had forgotten them. And now, because they were losing hope, right at that moment, and only the Lord knows when that moment is, right at as they were starting to lose hope, He sends them, He fulfills the promise and sends them His Son to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. We read just a few moments ago, verses 21 and 23, where Matthew, the Gospel writer, is referring back to this time when the prophets were speaking. I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have lived in that time when the prophets of God were speaking to the people in such a way that they just absolutely knew this was God's voice speaking to them. Now, we don't have those same kind of prophets today that we record their words and we call it Scripture. In fact, sometimes there's some really wacko prophets that are out there, claim to be prophets of God, and they get written up in things like the Inquirer. If you read that kind of thing and you read, you know, this prophet said, the end of the world is coming in 2010, don't believe it. Don't believe it. This book, the Bible, has all of the prophecies that are going to be fulfilled. He's fulfilled the ones that have been in the past, and He will be faithful to fulfill them all. And He says something very specific about when the end will come. He says, first, this gospel, this good news about His Son, is going to be preached throughout the world as a witness, and then the end will come. But you know what? He also says there's no date. The disciples, who were with Jesus for 3 years, they came to Him at the end of His ministry, and they said, Lord, is it at this time, now, are You going to set up the kingdom? Are You going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And you know what He said to them? It's not for you to know the dates or the times. The Father has set them by His own authority. He says, the Son doesn't know. Even the angels in heaven do not know that time. Only the Father knows that time. And so if you have a prophet that says to you, oh, the world is coming to an end. Jesus is returning in 2010, 2011, 2020, whatever it may be. You can know that they are not true. They are not a prophet of God. How many of you were around when you heard the booklet? It was a booklet by a man who was claiming to be a prophet. It was called 88 Reasons for Christ's Coming in 1988. How many of you were around at that time? I mean, a few of us older folks, right? And you know what? 1988 came, and 1988 left, and Jesus did not return. In fact, He revised it, and He said, oh, I was wrong. He's going to come in 1989. And 1989 came, and 1989 left, and Jesus didn't return. Only the Father in heaven knows. Well, God fulfills this promise that was preached, proclaimed by Isaiah the prophet. Now, 700 years before Jesus comes, there's a guy, and his name is Isaiah. And he preaches a specific prophecy. And we just read it there out of the Gospel of Matthew. He says, but unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The virgin shall be with child, and they shall call His name, what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now you see, the Israelites of that day, the people of God that day, they thought, oh yeah, well, sure, God is with us, right? And a lot of us think that. Oh yeah, well, God is with us. I mean, God's everywhere. He's with us. They didn't understand the fact that God was going to send His Son, Jesus, who is going to be literally God with us in human form, in the flesh. And so, the Scripture says, He, the Son, came and He put on flesh and He dwelt among us. He lived among us. God, who is Spirit, came and put on flesh, and He lived among us. And Jesus Christ proclaimed, I am God's Son. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And so we see this prophecy fulfilled. Well, what's the situation? What is the situation? Why was this the right time for this prophecy to be fulfilled among these people? Well, we know that a certain nation, certain people group had come and taken over control of Palestine. How many of you know who that was? Who taken over? The Romans. The Roman Empire had expanded, and now they were in control of Palestine. They were in control over the people of Israel. And the hand of the Romans was heavy upon them. The taxes were heavy and high, and their cruelty was almost too much to bear. It's almost kind of like now today, isn't it? Just making sure you're awake. High taxes and their cruelty as a government was almost too much to bear. Where was this promised Messiah? God had promised the Deliverer would come. The Messiah, the Anointed One, the Chosen One, would come. And He was going to rescue them. He was going to conquer their oppressors and set them free. And He was going to reestablish Israel as an independent nation. He was going to have a king on the throne of David. God had promised there would never be a time when they would not have a man on the throne of David. It had been 400 years since the last prophet spoke about Him. Now, in that day, there were many messiahs. Did you know that? Just like today, there are many people that actually claim to be Jesus Christ. And I want to make sure everybody knows this, there's a man down in Florida, he's a preacher down in Florida, who claims that he is Jesus Christ reincarnated. In fact, I believe he actually has that first name, Jesus, which is in Spanish, it's Jesus. And he claims to be Jesus Christ reincarnated. And here's what he says, and I showed the video clip here a few months back. He says, oh, that Jesus of Nazareth, he's nothing. He said, me? He said, you wouldn't believe what I can do. I can do miracles. I can do signs and wonders. He said, I am the resurrection, or I am the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. Well, the problem is, there's no nail marks. There's no pierce marks. And Jesus said when He returns, you will see Him. You will see, literally, the nail marks on His hands and His feet. You will see the spear mark on His side. I don't find them on Pastor Jesus. So there was a lot of messiahs then. There's a lot of false messiahs now. But here's what they were saying. The people of God were saying, God has forgotten us. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like in the midst of life, God, you've forgotten me. Where are you? I don't see you working. Where are the promises that you said you fulfill? Where is the help that you said you bring? Where are you, God? Sometimes in life, when life gets tough and difficult things happen, we begin to wonder, we begin to question. It's right at this point of despair that God sends His head angel, Gabriel. By the way, how many of you, when you think of angels, you kind of think of fat babies with wings? The angels that are described in the Scriptures are absolutely fierce battle warriors. In fact, it tells us, and you read in the Scriptures, that whenever a person actually sees an angel, they are terrified. Actually, when John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, sees the angel, even Joseph, it says they're terrified because they see an angel who is of a magnificent strength, and he has all the features of a warrior, not fat babies with wings. That's from the medieval times. Well, he sends Gabriel, the head angel, first to Mary, then he sends him to Joseph, which we read here in Matthew's Gospel. For what purpose? Well, he's going to tell them the manner in which he's going to send his son, Jesus. And it's a miraculous way. He's not going to be born just like a normal birth, no. He's going to be born of a virgin. How is that possible? Well, with God, all things are possible. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, therefore, the fruit of your womb that is born shall be called the Son of God. And so, God is with us. He fulfills the prophecy. God's Son becomes flesh and lives among us. For what purpose? What's the purpose in this? Verse 21 that we just read. Because He will save His people from their sins. He will save their people, His people, from their sins. You see, we think we need God to come and meet all of our needs. We think we need God to come and fulfill all of His promises to us so that we can be comfortable, so that we can be secure, that we can be happy. This morning in Sunday school class, we were watching some on-the-street interviews, and they interviewed some people on the street, and they said, what would heaven on earth look like for you? What would it look like? And people said sort of the same kind of things. Well, you know, I would have peace and happiness. There would be peace in my family. Several of them said, well, you know, I'd get the job that I want, and I would be making the money that I want. One young person said, well, I'd be accepted into the college that I want to be in, and I'd be able to get in there and do well in college, and my family would all be doing well and have peace. And those are great things. I mean, I don't know about you, but I like to have peace in my family. I like to have my needs met. I want to have a good job. I want to be able to earn enough to pay the bills and all that. Nothing wrong with those things. But you see, God goes deeper than that. He goes to the heart of our need, and that is, first and foremost, that each of us have sin that we have to deal with. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Just because I'm a pastor, just because I'm a preacher, that doesn't mean that I don't sin. I'm still human. I'm still fallen. I'm still sinful, and so I sin every day. I hope that doesn't shock you. I hope that doesn't make you think less of me. And the reason is because that you sin too. You can be honest. Everybody who sins, raise your hand. Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, now you're lying, so you can raise your hand. The Scripture tells us that all have sinned and we've come short of God's standard. All of us have sinned. But God wants to deal with that in our lives, and He sent His Son Jesus to deal with that, because it says He will save His people from their sins. Yes, Jesus was born in the manger, and we saw the story depicted this morning, and it was beautiful, wasn't it? But Jesus didn't remain a babe in a manger. No, He grew up, became, and grew into the manhood that God desired for Him. But you know what? Jesus' main purpose was this. He came to die for our sins, to take the penalty that we deserve, and to offer to us a gift of forgiveness, a gift of a relationship with God being restored, and a gift of a new and transformed life. Now, that doesn't mean that all your problems are solved. In fact, it's interesting, when many people become Christians, actually their lives kind of get worse. You know why? Because then God begins to work in your life, and He wants you to get things right. He wants you to start dealing with your issues. He wants you to start dealing with your problems, with your habits, your hang-ups, whatever it might be. You see, it's easy for us to wallow and just kind of leave things undone. But when God starts working in your life, He begins to work and touches your heart and wants you to start doing those things which we know are right. And so we see God sent His Son not as a conquering hero. No, He sent Him as a babe born in a rough, smelly, stinky stable. Oh, we romanticize Christmas, don't we? We put up the lights and we have the manger and the sheep and the cows. And you know what? How many of you ever walked into a stable? How many of you went up to the county fair and you walked into the barn with the cows or the horses? Man, it stinks. It's nasty. Jesus was not born into a nice, sweet-smelling place. It was rough. It represented life. Our lives. And that's what Jesus was born into. This world. And He came to die for our sins. He came to purchase this place in heaven for us and this relationship with the Father. And the reason is because God does love to fulfill His promises. He loves to fulfill His Word, but He does it in His way. And He does it in His timing. Not the way that we may think it ought to be. And so number two, and we'll end with this, therefore, since God has been faithful in the past, He fulfilled His Word to His people, and He brought about His Son, the Messiah, to come on this earth, then therefore, we must trust we must not lose hope for God to fulfill His Word and His promises to us. If you will trust God, if you will open your heart to Him, He will begin this process of fulfilling His Word and fulfilling His promises in you. He will do it. Because there are many of you here today, and if I were to ask you to raise your hand, you could testify, God has been fulfilling His promises in my life. God has been faithful in my life. How many of you have had tough times? And has God seen you through it? Has He seen you in those tough times? Has He seen you through it? And maybe right now you're going through a very difficult time. And is He seeing you through it right now? He'll continue to do that. He wants to do that. Now again, that doesn't mean everything's going to work out great. But here's His promise. He says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Therefore, if the Lord is my helper, what can man do to me? If the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. He gives us another promise, and this is in Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion into the day of Christ Jesus. You see, God's at work. For those of us who will open our heart, God is at work. How many of you like to do jigsaw puzzles? I hate them. I really do, because you don't know where to start. You have all these puzzle pieces, and you're like, and I get confused easily. And so I just don't even know where to start. Sometimes if someone comes along and they just put a couple, three pieces together, wow, you can build on that. And before you know it, instead of having like, you know, things that look like ink blots, all of a sudden you begin to see, oh, there's a tree. Oh, there's the sky. Oh, there's the sun. You build on it. You see, that's the way it is in our lives. When God comes to us, our lives are a mess. Yeah, we might have a few pieces that are together here. Some of us think we have our lives together. We're fooling ourselves. When it comes to our relationship with God, our lives are a mess because we sin. And there's this separation between us and God. And God wants to come and forgive us, and He's done the work already. And you see, He begins to put those pieces together more and more in our lives. And all of a sudden, you begin to understand, oh, that makes sense now. This makes sense. In fact, you might look back and you'll see, you know what, there was something that was really bad happened in my life. Where was God when that happened? Where was God when I was a child and my parents divorced, or one of my parents, or both of my parents left? Where was God when my sister died? Where was God when that man who was drinking ran into one of my family members and killed them? Where was God in that? And you see, God begins to put those pieces together, and then you say, oh, now I understand. Now I begin to understand what God was doing in our lives. But then, you know, there's some things that we will just not fully understand on this side of life. Not on this side of life. We're going to have to wait until we see God. And then, you know what? There's some questions I have that I just can't answer, and I haven't gotten any answer yet. And I don't think I will until I see God and I'm able to ask Him Himself and say, God, I don't understand that. Can You explain it? And maybe at that point He'll decide He can tell me, and maybe He won't. But you know what? Right now, I'm trying to understand the pieces of my life. Where are you at this morning? Are you beginning to understand the pieces of your life, or is it just kind of that puzzle that just can't seem to fit together? Maybe this morning God is speaking to you. You need to receive that gift that Jesus Christ has come. Yes, He was the babe in the manger, but more importantly, He came as God with us, Emmanuel, so that He could die for our sins, take our punishment, take our place, so that we don't have to. Here's what Jesus said. He says, I have a deal for you. I'll trade you your sins for My righteousness. Your sins for My peace. Your sins for My forgiveness. And He invites every one of us. He offers it to us and says, receive, take it. It's yours to have. But you must come with a heart of faith, a heart of belief, and a humility. I invite you to do that this morning so that you can have confidence and God can renew your hope in your life. He wants to do it. He really does, Phil. God is not against us. God is for us. God is not some big genie in the sky ready to squash us because we fail. No. In fact, over and over again, He makes it possible, gives the invitation, gives the offer, and says, come. Come. Receive my peace. Receive my forgiveness. If that's where you are this morning, I invite you to do that. Take a step towards God. Open your heart and say, God, I don't understand much about You, but I understand that You've sent Your Son so that I can know You. He can forgive my sins, and I can have a relationship with You. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the beautiful way that was presented this morning of the birth of Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate this Christmas season. We know that Jesus is truly the reason for the season. But more than this, Lord, we want to understand why He came. We thank You for loving us. We thank you for wanting to know us each individually, to have a relationship with us. And we thank You for making it possible through Jesus Christ. We thank You for letting Him take our sins, take our death, and then to rise again from that and offer us eternal life. Lord, I pray for each one here. Lord, I pray in the quietness of this moment, if there's any here that You're tugging on their heart, You're knocking on the door of their heart, Lord, I ask that You would enable them to open their heart, to invite You in, so that You can have relationship with them. In the quietness of this moment, if that's you, and you'll know because right now your heart is pounding and maybe you're feeling nervous or tingly or maybe you're sweating because God is speaking to you. And if He's knocking on the door of your heart, then all you have to do is open your heart and say, yes, Lord, I invite You to come in. And you can pray a prayer like this. And if that's you this morning, I invite you to pray this prayer. In fact, I'm going to ask everybody to repeat it so we don't embarrass anyone. But if we'll all repeat this, and if you pray this out of your heart for the first time, God will begin a miracle and begin a relationship and allow Jesus to come into your life. Would you pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for loving me. And thank You for knowing me. And most of all, thank You for sending Jesus to die in my place and take the punishment of my sin. I ask You, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me, cleanse me, and make me new. I want to have a relationship with You. I'll follow You all of my life. Thank You. Lord, I pray for each one here that You will make this real. Lord, we know that this is a work that You do. It's not something that any one of us, I can't do it. Only You begin this miracle in our lives. Lord, we thank You for this day. We give You the praise for it. Lord, I bless these people as we go. May our celebrations of this season with family and friends be sweet. And Lord, we pray Your protection over each one of us. And most of all, that we would draw close to Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before you leave today, would you take time to greet each other? And if you have any special prayer needs or want to be prayed for, please feel free to come forward. God bless you all. Have a great rest of the day.